Physics Explicit Scenario. It's based on work of James Wells and posted back in December. And here's the contents of my talk. So I'm going to first introduce explicitly spectrum, motivations, and properties. Then I'll talk about if explicitly has any important reference mass scale. And I will introduce gauging the mass ratio variable. And this is an interesting variable, actually. This encodes important information about underlying SUSY breaking mediation models, as well as an crucial factor for the discovery prospect. And I will talk about enhanced next to leading order corrections that exist in the explicit spectrum to the gauging of masses. And then I will talk about discovery reach strategies and observables. And there will be many interesting simplifying features and useful scaling rules that I can use. And then I'll conclude with the outlook. So we all know that Higgs boson has been discovered, and 125 GeV Higgs mass is a golden mass for experimentalists. Various different channels are accessible, and we have already learned a lot. And so far, it looks very much like the standard model Higgs boson. So it's good, but we didn't see any hints of the new physics that might explain the origin of the Higgs boson. And the worry related to it is related to naturalness. So naturalness is not a theoretical principle. So it might really be worthwhile to seriously consider fine-tuned scenarios, such as SUSY. And in my talk, SUSY is a terminology for general supersymmetry with the scalars much heavier than gauginos or Higgsinos, generally. So in this SUSY scenario, it might be just a little bit of fine-tuning in the electroweak symmetry breaking and the Higgs mass, and still the most of the hierarchy between Planck scale and the weak scale is solved by supersymmetry. Okay. Just a little bit of fine-tuning. And interestingly, many phenomenological issues related to flavor and CP violation can be simply decoupled with the heavy scalars. Meanwhile, good SUSY properties such as gauge coupling unification and thermal dark matter candidates are still capped by light gauginos and Higgsinos. So here are pictures supporting those them. So pure Bino, Higgsino, Winos can have a right thermal relic density at some mass ranges. And also light gauginos reflect all three gauge coupling beta function in such a right that in such a way that they can meet at the right point at the Planck scale.
So the red
is Bino, pure Bino. Yeah, Higgsino, Bino.
Where is that band is the acceptable?
Yeah, this is acceptable. Yeah, I think it's an old paper. So it's not a most recent WMAP data. Uh-huh. Roughly, there is a relic density data.
And this is assuming like a pure state.
Yeah, pure Bino, Higgsino, Bino, LSP. And SUSY scenario, in a theoretical sense, is quite generic because charged SUSY breaking can easily lead to hierarchy between scalars and gauginos. So if a SUSY breaking chiral superfield S is charged under some symmetry, then that still allows to write down this scalar mass term, but that doesn't allow us to write down gauginos mass term. So gauginos mass has to come from some loop suppressed anomaly contribution. Okay, and scalar masses are coming from some generic SUSY breakings. So gauginos masses are generically lighter than scalars. And anomaly mediated gauginos spectrums are standard examples, but there could be other examples that I will discuss in later. So in this sense, I would say that it's of course a little bit of exaggeration. A half of universe is a split SUSY-like because charged SUSY breaking leads to it. And split SUSY actually could have been natural if gauginos were 1 GeV and loop factor heavier scalars were about Higgs mass. Then there won't be any fine-tuning for the electroweak symmetry breaking. But somehow it's unnatural, and we don't know why, but just data says so. A more answerable and interesting question that should be answered at this point maybe it's about discovery. Can we test the split-suzy in the near future? And related important question is, does split-suzy have any important mass scale, not far above TeV, that we can target in the near future? Actually, knowing a new mass scale has always been very important in pursuit of understanding nature. For example, from the precision measurement of neutral currents, we sort of knew the WZ boson masses. And also from electric precision tests, we sort of knew the Higgs masses. And naturalness also lead to predictions of charm mass. And all these arguments lead to dedicated searches and discovery in the near future. And actually, split-suzy can have some important mass scale. And there are several reasonings. So these are not mathematical theorem, but can be a useful argument to keep in mind. So first of all, Higgs mass, two heavy scalars would have induced two large quantum corrections to Higgs mass. 125 GeV Higgs mass requires split scalars to be about 10 TeV if tangent beta is large, or 10 to the 7 TeV or something if tangent beta is small. And heavier scalars are more or less ruled out by precision Higgs mass measurements. And another argument is thermal dark matter scenario can be possible, and it's the simplest possibility, but that's only viable with the TeV scale electroretinals that I just showed you in the plot previously.
But are there strong constraints on that scenario from gamma rays?
Yeah, there are some, astrophysical constraints. Sorry?
Is there anything left?
But it's a model dependent, and there are also uncertainties. Right? Oh, if there are other, lighter axions or gravitinos, that those bounds do not apply.
Let's leave that aside because you have no theoretical control over that.
Right.
So within the split-suzy
pure split-suzy, maybe, yeah.
Is there any? Yeah, so I guess I'm trying to understand this. Maybe we'll get to that later in the talk. But let's leave alone from all theoretical biases and all that. Mm-hmm. Is there any problem that split-suzy solves?
Is there any problem that split-suzy solves?
Motivates believing so far that the Gaijinos are light and not also at like 100 TeV?
Does it solve anything?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's logarithmic, right? That's logarithmic. I mean, if you put the Gaijinos at 10 TeV, 100 TeV, that's not easy.
Well, but the error of the writing will propagate.
Yeah, I think it doesn't solve anything additional to normal standard SUSY, but it's consistent with data.
Yeah. Sorry, Ichai, are you saying that the whole pure Wino parameter is pretty
pure?
I didn't think that Wino or mixed.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what I'm trying to understand. Maybe people will be talking about that?
Not much. Yeah. Pure Wino, dark matter case is constrained from those gamma rays. Xeno is not that. Yeah, so 3.1 TeV pure Wino or 1.1 TeV pure Xeno can have right amount of relic density. But generally, the heavier LSPs have too much relic density by now. And in order to dilute away those relic density, we need some contrived mechanism and model buildings like lighter axions or gravitinos or some other mechanisms. So it's not a mathematical theorem, but it's useful and important to target those mass scales in the future searches. And also we can make another argument in favor of the light Gaijinos and Higgsinos using unifications. And best unification is achieved with the light Gaijinos and Higgsinos of order 1 TeV or lighter. So the general existence of upper bounds on the mass scale is very interesting outcome, especially that's on the TeV scale on the LSP. So our question is, what does it really take to test the split-suzy up to those thermal relic density upper bound? So in split-suzy, Gaijinos and Higgsinos might be the only particle that are reachable at the near future collider. And if Gaijinos and Hixinos are sort of heavy, of order multi-hundred GeV or TeV, it's very likely that they are minimally mixed and almost degenerate pure kind. Then it's very difficult to discover LSP Gaijinos and Hixinos from their direct productions. So heavier Gaijino or Hixino masses and productions are important for the discovery. And interestingly, only a few Gaijino mass patterns arise from the majority of SUSY breaking mediation models. So a while ago, people have categorized the Gaijino mass patterns into following three patterns. So in the first pattern, called the M-Sugra pattern, Gaijino mass is proportional to Gaiji coupling itself. And the AMSB pattern, anomaly-mediated SUSY breaking, Gaijino mass is proportional to product of Gaiji coupling and beta function. And Mirage pattern is more like a linear combination of those two. So a little bit more detail. So M-Sugra pattern is most ubiquitous one. M-Sugra and Gaiji mediation, Gaijino mediation, all leads to this M-Sugra pattern. And Gaijino masses are unified where Gaiji couplings are unified. And mass ratios are 1 to 2 to 6 at weak scale. And for AMSB pattern, it's more or less inevitable supergravity effects. It's always present. And Gaijino masses are not unified. And mass ratio is 3 to 1 to 9 at weak scale. And Mirage pattern is an interpolation between M-Sugra pattern and AMSB pattern. And there is a Mirage unification in the intermediate scale. And there are a couple of models giving Mirage pattern like KKLT, deflected AMSB, hybrid mediations, etc. And as I said, all these three patterns, Gaijino mass ratios depend only on Gaiji coupling ratios and beta function ratios, and could be order one linear combination parameter for the Mirage mediation. But these two Gaiji couplings and beta functions are well known and well measured. So Gaijino mass ratios are very predictive and distinctive variable for the SUSY breaking mediation model. So being able to measure those mass ratios will be a very exciting possibility. And actually, pure Gaijinos and Hixinos in split SUSY scenario might be a best and simplest place to measure the mass ratio. And Gaijino mass ratio is actually a crucial factor for the discovery as well. For a given LSP mass, as I said, NLSP or heavier particle masses are important because we need to rely on productions of those particles for the discovery. So Gaijino mass ratio actually determines the discovery prospect. So later we will present discovery reach in terms of this mass ratio variable, and that will show further benefits of using this variable. And before I go on, I will mention that there could be huge Hixino mixing with the Gaijino when Hixino happens to be close to the Gaijinos. But in principle, Hixino mass is not related to Gaijino mass. And Hixino mass is more related to solution of the mu-b-mu problem and electroweak symmetry breaking sector. So in large part of parameter space, there is no large mixing, and this kind of arguments apply. But split SUSY has a big hierarchy, scale hierarchy between scalars and fermions, and it's where large logarithmic quantum corrections may arise into Gaijino masses and also Gaijino mass ratios. So our another question is, how large is this large quantum corrections, and how robust is the prediction of Gaijino mass ratios of SUSY breaking mediation models against the quantum corrections? So we will compute that. There are actually three components of NLO corrections to Gaijino masses that should all be added consistently. So from the top higher scales down to lower scale, there is the NLO matching correction. So at the matching scale, we integrate our SUSY breaking mediation fields and we obtain MSSM fields and the MSSM subtle parameters. There are NLO corrections to those matching conditions. And then we use two loop MSSM RG equations to RG evolve everything down to weak scale or TV scale. And then at low scale, we add one of threshold corrections from heavy particles. So let me get.
So in a split scenario, you have two more decision decoupled and then scalars also integrating them out at the scale.
Sorry.
To achieve better precision, shouldn't you integrate out the heavy?
That's right. That's actually a better calculation. Yeah, in the outlook, I will mention it, but we didn't do it. And we just wanted to first check how large it is. And if it's large, then yeah, effective your calculation would be more better.
So didn't you do some of this stuff?
I did. Well, the two RG equations for the pieces here are known. I checked somewhere over there, and then I have them, but more for like split scalar scenario where you have some scalars applied.
Yes, for the light stops.
Yeah. So it was more centered on that.
Mm.
But that sounds like a easy extension to this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have world expert here.
Yeah, I can talk to you later. Yeah. So let me get a little bit detailed for each of them. So NLO matching correction sounds like very model dependent on the Suzy breaking mediation sectors and Suzy breaking sectors. But surprisingly, for gauge mediation scenario, Gaugino screening theorem actually protects Gaugino masses from details of Suzy breaking mediation sectors. So up to some loop, for example, at NLO, the matching correction is proportional to gauge coupling itself. So it's of order 10% at most still. And for anomaly mediation, the anomaly is one of the exact phenomena, so there won't be further quantum corrections at the matching scale. So NLO matching corrections is more or less okay. And we use two-loop MSSM RG evolution. And that results next to leading log, which is formally the same order as one of finite corrections. And for anomaly mediated Gaugino spectrum, Gauginos are proportional to beta function coefficients. And here, two loop parts of the beta function coefficients actually give you the dominant contribution to the AMSB Bino and Wino, because there is an alpha S contribution to Bino and Wino. Okay, so we add that. And finally, at the low energy scale, by adding one loop threshold corrections from heavy particles, so that actually turns the running mass parameters into Gaugino Paul masses, which are actually observable and going into mass matrix. And the origin of individual terms of threshold corrections can be understood from effective theory without scalars, as you said. Yeah, first two components mostly depend on gauge couplings, so small model dependencies. But this one loop threshold corrections depend sensitively on spectrum, and it's what is most interesting to us. So before we calculate something and show you the results, so I will tell you about our benchmark scenarios. So we will use minimal anomaly mediated Gauginos, with the hexenos and scalars are all heavy and decoupled. Okay. Only AMSB Gauginos in the low energy. This model is generic simple, but it's one of the most difficult scenario for the discovery. So by studying them, we can sort of know the discovery prospect and strategies. And we will generalize the results later. So I'm going to tell you about NLO results of the Gaugino mass. The biggest variation at the NLO comes from model parameters, scalar mass M0, Hexino mass mu, and tangent beta, and also LSP mass. Okay. So to begin with, we draw thick lines here and here for light scalars, which is more or less leading order predictions. Okay. There is no large logarithmic predictions for these lines. And we will compare various different NLO corrections with these leading order predictions to see how large the NLO correction is. Then now we have a heavy scalars, M0. That means we have a large logarithmic vectors of M0 over M Gaugino. And those are lines between blue and red regions here and here. So ratio is the increase from leading order predictions to here. And it's increased because heavy quarks generally mainly raise the gluino mass. And when tangent beta is large, this color effect is dominant NLO correction. And this low correction is always present for a split Suzy, whatever other parameters are. Okay. Scalars are heavy, then these large logarithmic corrections are always present. And also heavy Higgsian effects can be large because Gugino-Paul mass has a contribution proportional to Higgsian mass. Okay. So here we show Higgsian 40 V Higgsian contribution. So when Higgsian mass was small, the line was here. But when Higgsian mass becomes large, line spreads a little bit. Okay. So regions between two solid lines are effects of the Higgsian and tangent beta. But if Higgsian becomes much heavier, 50 TeV, the variation becomes much larger. But this relation is actually quite curious because in the supersymmetry limit, Gugino masses are protected by R symmetry. So any quantum corrections to Gugino mass is proportional to Gugino mass itself. But here it's proportional to mu actually. So that can be understood from the low energy effective theory where scalars are all integrated out. So in that low energy effective theory, there's no SUSY and there's no R symmetry. So Gugino masses are not protected by those symmetries. And actually there's another symmetry in the low energy effective theory. And that symmetry is enhanced only when both mu and Gugino masses vanish. So that means they mix by RG evolution. And also the sign of mu is important because correction is proportional to mu. And when mu is negative, Gugino mass gets positive, negative corrections. So the ratio is generally increased. And when mu is positive, opposite behavior. Unfortunately, as I said briefly, good unification requires rather light Higgsians of order 1 TeV. If we didn't have this argument, Higgsian could be arbitrarily heavy and very large quantum corrections could disturb everything. But Higgsian corrections are more or less tamed with the good unification requirements. So in order to answer whether analog corrections to Gugino masses are ruining any distinctive and characteristic prediction of the SUSY breaking mediation models, we compare predictions from different models. So these red and blue are AMSB with the one-loop splitting spectrum. And this green line is gauge mediation without any splitting. Okay. So without any splitting, quantum corrections are quite small. But with splitting, as I said, this line becomes this line and varied within this region, depending on the Higgsian mass. So gauge mediation spectrum would also have same kind of analog corrections if there were one loop splitting. So this line could go up to around this region, and there could be some variation with the Higgsian mass. Okay. So analog correction is of order 20 to 30%, but it's not completely negligible. And if we don't consider these analog corrections, if we had observed this mass ratio, we wouldn't know whether it's AMSB leading order or GMSB analog corrective ones. So we need, yeah.
Maybe I'm missing something, but so in those models where your dark matter is Xeno or Wino,
yeah.
Then we're talking about an LSP, which is at a TeV.
Yeah.
And pretty much anything else is at like 10 TeV and above.
Yeah, yeah.
How will this Could ever be discoverable?
It depends on the mass of other particle.
Depends on
mass of other particle.
Well,
NLSP
this,
or.
But from this plot, it looks like the NLSP will be at like 10 TeV or so.
Sorry? Which one is 10 TeV?
The NLSP
is 10 TeV.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's GeV. Okay.
So that's what I'm asking. It's covered nowhere. Not at LHC.
10 TeV LS.
Huh?
Sorry?
So where, yeah. When you say discoverable, where would it be discoverable?
Oh, I will talk about it a little later. Discovery rich.
Like
yeah. Yeah, 100 TeV, very high. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is that what I like? So what is LHC 200?
200 TeV collider. Oh. Yeah. I will come to that plot later. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so analog correction is not negligible. And another notable effect from gauge coupling contribution is LSP mass dependence. So generally, it grows when LSP becomes lighter. That's because gauge couplings actually run, and Gaugino mass ratios actually depend on gauge couplings. And those renormalization scale dependence actually raise the mass ratio at lighter LSP mass regions. It's another interesting NLO effect. So now we discuss discovery prospects. So in the AMSP minimal model, we know LSP pair production and Bino NLSP pair productions are almost useless in collider aspects. But there is a gluino pair production. And when gluino decays to hadronically, we can use M effective variable, which is simply a scalar sum of PT of all objects and missing ET. And this is a traditional classical variable sensitive to heavy supersymmetry and simple and well known. The background is also well known. But actually, this channel and this variable has many simplifying features and useful features that we will discuss. So first of all, M effective variable can be used with any Gaugino mass patterns, not very sensitive to mass spectrum itself, as long as these two conditions are satisfied. So first condition is gluino to its primary decay product mass ratio should be rather large. Okay. Once it becomes larger than 3, then primary daughter mass is almost doesn't matter here. And also, as I said, Higgsino should not mix strongly with Gauginos. Okay, then these pure Gaugino limits arise and this argument arise. And all three characteristic mass patterns, Gaugino mass patterns, have these large mass ratios, except around Mirage throat, where Mirage unification happens. Okay. So this is a quite generic property that is satisfied in majority of models, and M effective analysis, very global, universal. And also using M effective, we don't need to consider different strategies and backgrounds for different gluino decay modes. If gluino decays to top quarks, the top quarks will be boosted and it would essentially look like a single normal jet if boosted top tagging is not applied. So without top tagging technique, we can just treat top quarks as a single jet and we don't have to distinguish tops from other jets. And if we couldn't do that, whole new top-rich backgrounds and different analysis and techniques has to be used to assess the top decay modes. Of course, if we use boosted top tagging, that could help in another sense, but that's a model-specific questions and analysis. And finally, more usefully, a simple scaling rule of the discovery reach can be derived if those two mass splitting conditions are satisfied. So this sounds like a simple algebra, and this sounds like satisfied automatically everywhere, but it's not actually. That actually depends on the signal and background ratios for different parameter space. But somehow in this case, S over V is constant for a wide range of gluino mass and collision energy and mass splittings. That happens because S over V is constant regardless of Gaugino masses. So these are 5 TeV gluino, 10 TeV gluino, 15 TeV gluino, 20 TeV gluinos. You can see that.
What is the center of mass?
It's, I think, 100 TeV. Yeah, I think 100 TeV. Yeah. Yeah, once mass splitting becomes large, yeah, this M effective variable is insensitive to exact value of the masses. And this global analysis can be applied, and simple scaling rule applies. And that means we don't have to do any more simulation. Once we have results for one parameter space, we can just use simple scaling rule to obtain discovery reach for other parameter space as well. And using that, we obtain this discovery reach. So gluino mass versus PP collision energy. And the contours are luminosity needed for 5 sigma discovery. And also, we show Wino mass, assuming AMSP relations with the Wino and gluino. Okay. So to probe up to 3.1 TeV thermal Wino here, with order 1,000 inverse femtobarn of beta, maybe 200 TeV is needed. And 100 TeV, which is often mentioned, does not go all the way up to 3 TeV.
When you say discovery, do you mean really like proving that this is a color octet or
no,
mass, or just an excess
just existence?
Just yeah. Excess over the background.
Right. Just knowing which something's there.
Come from any other model, right?
Yeah. It could be. Yeah. Well, once we see something, precision comes next.
Yeah. Masses mixing will be a very fine-tuned model.
Yeah.
And so you have a pure Reno. I think that's ruled out with the gamma.
Yeah.
Constraints.
Yeah. Very heavy pure Renos.
So we don't
could
need to
be.
Go on the TV to know that this is ruled out.
I think that's
also.
There are regions where it's subdominant component of dark matter, and it's not ruled out.
It could be. Yeah. That means Reno has to be lighter than.
You're thinking that dark matter is something else.
Yeah,
but then we should be honest and say that basically this model is not doing anything fun.
It solves the hierarchy problem.
We re-express those discovery reach into discovery reach into M gluino over M LSP mass ratio. Okay, so we consider 14 TeV, 30 TeV, 100 TeV, 200 TeV, and blue and red are AMSB with the one-loop split spectrum, and green is gauge mediation without any splitting, and solid lines are luminosity needed for 5 sigma discovery. So this is another way of presenting discovery reach. And any models with mass ratio greater than 3 can be presented in this plane. And comparison between different models are also easy. And also presenting analog corrections are easy. And if Hixino is LSP, actually there's no any theoretical relations between Hixino and heavier particles. So it could be much larger than 10, for example. So there is no any definitive discovery reach of the Hixino LSP, but yeah. So in the next 3 slides, I have some technical aside. So one is about how we generate Monte Carlo's event samples. So we are working in a very small tail of the background distributions. So we need to be careful about Monte Carlo generation. So if you have some questions, maybe you can ask me later. I will skip this. And also, it's a very high energy collider. So radiation and matching is important because even soft radiation can generate very hard jets. So we need to simulate that very carefully. And number of jets are actually much larger than number of quarks. So. And also jet mass observable is another interesting observable that can distinguish different spectrum and models. We did some detailed studies. So yeah, if you're interested in, ask me later. So summary. So we have studied what it really takes to discover gluinos in split SUSY with thermal dark matter. And later we expressed the results as a discovery reach in gluino to LSP mass, considering various different models. And we know dark matter, thermal dark matter may need 200 TeV for full coverage, while Hixino dark matter is not definitive. And we also have discussed analog corrections to Gaijino masses, and it's not that small. So a couple of outlooks. So this discovery rich study could be an exciting motivation for a very high energy collider. And when deciding certain collision energy, this might be useful. And other than gluino pair production, NLSP pair production can also be useful. And as he mentioned, a resummation of these large logarithmic corrections using effective field theory might be needed, more reliable. And actually, one of hierarchy, the original motivation of one of hierarchy was to avoid flavor physics and CP violation constraints. But as CP violation, those constraints are becoming stronger. There are some papers that one of hierarchy is not enough. So a couple of model buildings with the giving two loop hierarchy between scholars and Gijinos are done. And also, if thermal history can be modified, those astrophysical constraints can be modified and changed. And Higgsino mass was another important parameter in our arguments and story, but it has a more close connection with the mu bmu solution. So it might be interesting to study those kind of directions.
But two loop hierarchy is now we're talking about scalars and like
factor 6, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. But there are models like that.
Oh, come on, like at this point, you have the tuning of what, like 10 to the minus 10 almost.
Yeah. So. Tuning is not a concern, it's precision.
Yeah, but is that why we even. No, it's not true, right? You said like the whole point of having the. More of the big motivation is to solve the hierarchy between here and
yeah,
the last.
Yeah.
If you have a tuning of 10 to the minus 10, I'll give you 10 to the minus 32 if you like that. Who cares?
So, if we need to say 5 TV, for example, how far should I raise the scale of masses so that there will be displaced vertices?
Displaced vertices?
Isn't it going to be used? I mean, in the case.
You mean displaced vertex of Gluino decay?
Yeah.
Ah. There are.
Ten to the twelve. About 10 to 12 is displaced vertex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are two diagrams. There's a three body and a two body decay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two bodies is more important when Higgsino is heavier.
Yeah.
No, that's too high.
Yeah, that's
high.
I think
it's like 26 or something.
It's like, well, I can't do it in real time. But no, that's
the high. So parametrically, n Gluino is the fifth power divided by n scalar to the fourth power. Mm-hmm. So, and let's say n Gluino is a TeV. So, decay, so TeV, let's say scalar is less than Brian, it's 10 to the 6, I think.
Something like that.
So
it's
10
to the
6
for
TeV.
TeV,
that sticks in my mind.
Yeah, so then we have a suppression of 10 to the minus 3. So we have a lifetime for the minus 12 TeV. And that's 10 minus 15 GeV. The GeV is 10 to the 24 seconds. So that's 10 to the minus 8 seconds or so. So yeah, that sounds right. That's displaced vertex 10 to the 6. So yeah, scalar at 1,000 TeV will start producing something that can be distinguished from some heavy. So can you go back to, I think it was the first slide where you showed the when you get the right relic abundance, the Beano. Yeah.
Sorry. So it's about 2 TeV, right?
What resonance?
Well,
the
Beano, like you said, it's at 3 TeV, right? Because of the enhancement.
Oh, it's not for the enhancement. Yeah. No, Beano. Has there been any improvement in the bounds on pure Beano? I guess
pure Beano? maybe exclude it. Really? It's too light, right? Below 100 GeV.
Oh, don't produce it, right?
Yeah, yeah, it depends on, yeah, MLSP, yeah.
I mean, you assume it comes from TV.
Yeah,
not
that, but he shows that. Right, so the highest your ratio was between Vino and Bluino, the highest was about 10 or 12?
Yeah, roughly 10.
Okay, so if you believe those things, then Vino, so Vino has to be greater than 120. So.
You know, that is like
25. So yeah, 120. So, okay, so Vino dark matter is out. We never have a sample of Vino dark matter again.
Unless you have
no, no, but let's forget all the bullshit.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
When we say Vino dark matter, this is like Vino with a very small mixture of other stuff.
What you can annihilate through your Higgs state, you know, you can have those kind of resonant enhancements.
So that's what I was not quite sure about.
But you have
what
a staff and annihilation. You know, you have all of these. Sure. Well, I guess the stout one doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so maybe.
So that's why I'm confused about what exactly it's
for. Yeah, I'm not sure, yeah. They might have considered core annihilation later. I saw somewhere, but not about
but
this.
But anyone looked at that, they must have done that, right? Like, look, yeah. In split of the scenario, you don't have any scalars, you don't have any core annihilation, you really just have the unit deployment. What are the possible dark matter elements?
These are possible dark matter or some combination.
Well, okay, so it's not clear to me why the Vino is.
If I decouple scalars and say I decouple Higgs zeros, then Vinos are not interacting with anyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get the right relic among them?
That's what I'm saying.
But either way, it sounds like they're ruled out.
Why?
Because of the Luino.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take this seriously, then I think you should. Once you take it seriously, and then Luino is probably ruled out by gamma rays.
Luino LSP.
And Xeno, I don't remember. Matt Rees had this nice.
Yeah. Xeno, there is no bound so far.
And is there any future hope for a bound on it from MS?
Maybe we can hope anything.
No, but
10 times more data.
Experiments, not futuristic. AMS,
the photon
has. Round base.
Yeah, I don't know if they have prospect. 10 times more data, maybe able to say something about Higgs Zeno.
So if Higgs Zenos are not very heavy, then the spectrum will also be split probably quite a bit. Various charges. That's probably even better, presumably, for some get more cascade.
Well, so that's what I'm trying to understand, whether we really need high energy collider, or can this possibility be excluded without going to high energies? I mean, it sounds like we're not too far away from ruling this out completely. Even if you require it to be the full dark matter?
Yeah, I think you can still have efficient annihilation with this Vino guy. Maybe? The Higgs's are all very heavy too.
Yeah. is that true? Well, at least normally in the rules of the game of the of this bit, so that the only allowance of one human. Mm-hmm. So only one of the human is like the other is.
On the other hand, if these xenos are white, then I don't know about the rest of the game. No, I mean, it's a new small thing.
Yeah.
Any questions? Let's go to the questions.
There are some papers. Maybe not many are seriously thinking.